and welcome back to the show. Joining us now is Jamie Stevenson, 203-333-9422 is our number. You can call me at 203-333-9422. Jamie Stevenson, we know on the Lisa Wexler Show for many, many years when she was an extremely popular first select woman of Darien for many terms, and she decided to resign, and now she has chosen to go for higher office, recently getting the Republican nod to run against Jim Himes in the 4th Congressional District. Jamie Stevenson, welcome back to the show. Hello.
Good morning, Lisa. Thank you so much for having me today.
Oh, it's a pleasure. It really is a pleasure. And I want to say that I was reading about your resounding endorsement, the standing ovation, the beautiful speeches made about you. Tell me how you felt just as a human being in responding to the party's enthusiastic endorsement of you.
Yes, thank you for asking. It was such a humbling moment. More than anything, to feel the energy in the room, a group of people who are like myself, and I'm sure you too, so desperate for some positive change in Washington. That energy was palpable to me, and I understand the importance and the responsibility that is on my shoulders to win this election in November and bring, you know, some common sense and compassion and pragmatism back to federal policymaking.
You were challenged at the convention by Michael Goldstein, and he did not get the 15% threshold. You got the overwhelming amount of delegates. But my understanding from reading something recently is that Michael Goldstein nonetheless intends to petition to get on the ballot. So how are you going to run your race between now and then?
Correct. I was really honored to receive 91% of the delegate votes last Thursday night. So you're right. Dr. Goldstein did not reach the 15% threshold for an automatic primary. I believe he intends to seek signatures. He has to get about 2,000 signatures in order to qualify to get on the ballot. But truthfully, you know, my November election began last Thursday night. We are full speed ahead to the general election, campaigning to the general public. You know, we can't spend the time between now and August just fighting amongst each other as Republicans. We need to get our common sense messaging out to all voters in the 4th Congressional District if we want to be successful in November.
I have a question for you, Jamie Stevenson. What is your it's very interesting to me since the Alito decision leaked that there are national politics and then there are Connecticut politics. And there are definitely pro-choice women. There may be pro-choice men, I'm sure, but pro-choice women that are prominent in Republican politics, like them as Claritas, for example, but she's not the only one, who have said that they are pro-choice, and if they are elected, they will continue to stay pro-choice. If you are elected representing the 4th Congressional District, what is your stance on this issue?
Yes, thank you for asking. And I actually knew this would be your first question today, Lisa. So first, let me say, I think, and I'm curious as a judge, your opinion on this. We are in uncharted territory with a draft Supreme Court decision being leaked to the public for, you know, public pressure purposes. And I want to acknowledge that this is not a conversation that can nor should be boiled down to sound bites and words matter. As a mother and a grandmother, my heart really breaks for anyone who's faced with the difficult decision on whether to seek abortion services. But with important limits, I do not believe that the government should infringe on our personal liberties as women and our individual health care decisions. So I do support a woman's right to make that decision with really important guardrails that I think the Casey decision put the appropriate guardrails in place.
Well, I mean, I'm glad to know your opinion on this. I'm watching my words and being very careful, and I will not be participating in any public rallies or any public conversations or any signage on this issue because I am a judge. My opinions before I became a judge were well known, but once I became a judge, I have to respect that as a judge, I don't have the same freedom to discuss my own views, and I'm not going to. But I think that your electorate has a right to know how you stand on things, and I thank you for being so candid in your view.
Sure. I'd also like to add, if I may, that, you know, I'm of the generation where, you know, we have for a generation lived with a Supreme Court decision that gave women certain health care rights. And while there certainly is and will continue to be legitimate debate on whether Roe was appropriately or inappropriately decided in 1973, it really concerns me that past Supreme Court decisions may not be respected by current and future courts. I think the American people deserve some judicial consistency, but I know that's going to be certainly a key point of debate.
Yeah. And my question is, because you're very astute politically, we're chatting with Jamie Stevenson of Darien, and that position of being pro-choice may or may not put you at odds with the majority of your party in Washington, D.C. Do you think that in Connecticut you can still create create a place where your electorate will respect all of you and see the nuances of who you are?
You know, I certainly hope so. You know, I've done a lot of outreach to friends and people in my community to really try and understand people's feelings on this issue. And, you know, it's not black and white, but I think the majority of certainly women, first and foremost, believe in personal liberty. You know, that liberty that is, in fact, protected under our Constitution. And I strongly believe in personal responsibility and personal liberty. I don't want the federal government infringing on any of my decisions. And that even extends to the oppressive government mandates during COVID, which I lived, you know, on the front lines of as Darien's first selectman. I don't want the federal government or the state government telling me that I have to put a vaccine in my body or the bodies of my children. I just think that's such a fundamental right as an American that I see being abused by our federal government leaders.
So that's a really interesting segue. Let's talk about that. We're chatting with Jamie Stevenson, 203-333-9422. She is the Republican nominee to take on Congressman Jim Himes in the 4th Congressional District in November. So Jamie, tell me about that, because you know Connecticut, as a matter of state law, during COVID, created more vaccine mandates for school children. Were you in favor of that, opposed to that? Not just COVID, we're talking measles, mumps, rubella, you know, the rest of the childhood vaccines. They made it very clear that if you wanted to attend a public or private school in Connecticut, your kid has to be vaccinated. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I don't believe in vaccine mandates. I believe that's a personal decision between you and your healthcare professional. And it's a one size fits all. It doesn't take into consideration things like an individual's personal medical history, their religious beliefs. So, you know, I'm pretty cut and dry when it comes to individual choice on things like that. Schools have the right to certainly disallow an individual from, going to public schools if they don't have the mandated requirements. But I don't believe in those mandated vaccine requirements.
What did you think of the, I don't know if you heard a little bit of our show, I'm just curious, what did you think of Patti LuPone talking back to the audience member in the Broadway theater who wasn't wearing her mask properly? She wasn't wearing it over her nose. It was very distracting to Patti LuPone. She asked her nicely for apparently 2 minutes to put her mask back on. The woman just refused. So Patti LuPone lost her temper, used a bad word, an F word, and told her to put her mask on. And then the woman said, I pay your salary. And that really incensed Patti LuPone. She said, BS, you don't pay my salary. My producer pays my salary. What did you think of that interchange?
So I just caught the tail end of you discussing that. And I am a huge theater lover.
Me too.
I agree with you that going to the theater is, you know, certainly a discretionary choice, and you do so understanding what the rules of the theater or other, venue might be. So if you know that in order to sit in that seat, you have to put a mask on. I don't believe in masking, by the way. I think history is going to prove that it was the greatest moral crisis of our lifetime, by the way, that we put our children behind masks for a couple of years. So having said that, if you know the rules, those are the rules, abide by the rules. But there was another very famous incident in a Broadway theater that when you break that magical bond between mm-hmm. the audience and the cast members of a play, you know, you just feel so let down by that. I don't think it's the right interaction. People pay a lot of money to go see Broadway shows and they want to escape. That's a beautiful, wonderful, magical escape to sit there. And it sounds to me like that bond was broken, not just for the, you know, the offending theater goer, but for everybody else in the theater.
Yeah, I think that there is definitely something to that. We'll be right back.